We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.
They're trying to overcome every reason that this person might not want to hire you. So with that attitude, you would have been trying to convince that person that they don't need 5 years experience, that they should just take you with 3 and that you can learn. Like, it's not up to you to decide that that's appropriate.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind the scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. It's time for our favorite part of the podcast, the Shoot Your Shot shout out. This is for you guys, our incredible listeners all around the world. We love your messages. We love your feedback. And this is where we get to share it. This week, our big fat Shoot Your Shot shout out goes to Sam. And Sam was lovely enough to shout us 3 coffees to support the show. Thank you, Sam.
Sam said, "Wow, thank you so much. I had an interview today for a job I really wanted, teaching children with learning disabilities, and received a phone call tonight offering me the position. I'm so grateful that I found your podcast. The few interviews I've had in the past, I've normally fumbled my way through. However, this time I felt so prepared and confident with my career story, why I wanted to work there, and my best bits. They were even super impressed when I had questions in my notebook when it came time for them to ask, 'Do you have any questions?' I didn't even need to use my panic phrases, which were also in my notebook. I desperately want to know what the panic phrases were."
I know. Please share us your panic phrases. But how good is the magic notebook?
So good. She said, "Now I'll go listen to the episodes about what to do once you've got the job. Thanks again. P.S. I remember Emma mentioned about writing down an achievement to add to her best bits. It reminded me of the app Pep Talk Her that was created by Maggie Palmer. Now, I was like, oh my God, what is this app? I looked it up and it sounds amazing. I haven't actually downloaded it, but just on the App Store, it's called Pep Talk Her and it says, 'Track your wins. Never forget how awesome you are.' And the little cover art says, 'You've entered 33 wins. On the 29th of April, it's got a little thing that says, closed an 85K deal with Sliding Door Media, worked on the main launch. Like, it's like a best bit logger. And then it says, 'We've always got your back. Build your confidence. Get the raise you deserve. You can print your wins and negotiate your worth.' So I guess it's keeping track of all your epic experience to then print out, keep a record of. So thank you so much for the endorsement. I feel like we've actually had a lot of people ask us if we have any advice on a way to keep track of all our best bits and things like that. So go check it out. Pep Talk Her.
And if you have any other suggestions for tools or little things that you've used in your job search that you've liked, let us know. Maybe we can share them with other people and maybe they'll be helpful.
If you want results like Sam and need a little bit of help to get there, you can check out Sarah's one-on-one interview coaching sessions. She has a lot of availability to deep dive into an area that you're struggling with in your interview prep. But if you need help right now and you need help for the entire process, you need your hand held and it broken down into digestible little steps, Interview Academy would be better suited for you. You can compare the options and check out the info on interviewboss.com.au/coaching.
Now, if you liked one of our episodes, you used a tip, something worked, you've got some feedback for us, or you want to request an episode, kindly follow us on Instagram, slide into our DMs, and that is exactly what this episode came from. So, transitioning into our topic of the day.
So, Carmen wrote to us and said, "Hi, Emma and Sarah. Thank you both so much for all that you do. I just got off a call and I immediately knew I needed to email you to let you know what happened. For context, I've been working in fundraising for a little over 3 years now and have held both the coordinator and specialist level roles. I've been applying to manager level roles recently as I'm ready for a new challenge. I'm in a networking group for local fundraisers, and a consultant member notified the group that they are trying to identify a development director for an anonymous client and to reach out if we knew of anyone who might be a good fit. I remembered the episode where Sarah talked about the buckets that people who apply to LinkedIn can fall in and realized I might be in bucket two. I do have relatable experience in the topic, but could be seen as jumping ahead a step or two, as most directors have 5 to 7 years of experience and I had 3. I decided to shoot my shot just in case. She said she was looking for someone with 5 or more years of experience managing a portfolio of donors, and this is something I've only just taken on in the last few months and haven't really received any guidance on, nor do I have any stories or experiences about that yet. We both realized that I was a few years of experience short of what she was looking for in a potential development director. A wave of courage came over me, and I acknowledged that I was likely not the right fit for this role, given the emphasis on years of experience she's seeking. I asked if, instead of spending time discussing a position we both knew I wasn't right for, I could pivot our meeting to ask more about her experience as a consultant, how she got started in that area, and what advice she would have for someone like me who would be interested in pursuing consulting.
I love this so much. Continue though, we'll discuss afterwards.
Wow, I'm so glad that I did. By acknowledging that this role was clearly not a good fit for my experience level halfway through our meeting, I was able to pivot the meeting from an interview to a coffee chat, making much better use of both our time. She seemed relieved that she didn't have to send me a follow-up email to explain my lack of experience, and I learned more about what experience I would need to gain to be a better candidate for this role in the future. She was thrilled to give me feedback about my resume and interview skills, and even shared suggestions for further experience during our meeting. After so many formal interviews lately, it was refreshing to candidly talk to an expert in my network about which roles I could be ready for and what other experience I still needed to gain. I shot my shot at a director level position, and instead of an offer, I ended up with a better connection and an advocate for the next role because we spent our time together being honest about what we were both looking for, and it was a very collaborative and supportive meeting. The values of honesty, knowing yourself, not selling yourself, active listening, and helping others in the job search. Thank you again for all that you do. I truly have so many things to thank you for, but this one was the most recent and felt like a clear result of the positive impact of your podcast. Cheers from the US.
This absolutely blew my mind. I think this is the coolest thing ever. And it would never have occurred to me to recommend it as a strategy. But as I was reading through, I've done the reverse on the interviewer side, where you really like someone and you're getting along, but you've both kind of realized, like, oh, okay, there's a bit of a misalignment here. Like, I've actually said to them in the interview, hey, look, for these reasons, like, it doesn't seem like this is the right kind of thing because you're looking for this and we're looking for this. And then you are able to kind of just have a more human chat about, what else can I do for you? Like, is there anything else you want to know? Like, by the way, you answered this really well. But I love that she did this. And as I was reading through, before I even got to the end, I was thinking, this was only possible because of the values and the things that we talk about in general and the mindset that we talk about in general. And then she spelled it out at the end as well. I just absolutely loved that, like the values that she had to have in place in order for this to make sense. And I wanted to break that down for everyone just so that we're really kind of clear about how the ideas of this podcast and the way that we do things can help you come up with moments like this, even though we didn't tell you exactly how to go about it. Number one, your job is not to sell yourself.
So true.
And I think, like, it depends on how you look at sales. But most people, when they say, oh, I have to sell myself in an interview, they're thinking about that, trying to convince someone against their will to hire you. they're trying to, like, overcome every reason that this person might not want to hire you. So with that attitude, you would have been trying to convince that person that they don't need 5 years experience, that they should just take you with 3 and that you can learn. Like, it's not up to you to decide that that's appropriate. Like, that person gets to decide that that's important to them and that they're not going to change their mind. Like, we're not trying to work against them to change something that they care about.
And yeah, I guess not having that I don't want to use the word arrogance, but like an absolute commitment to, I don't care that it said 5 to 7, I am going to ensure and prove that that doesn't matter and I'm fit for the job. When look at the great outcome that came from going, you know what, they were asking for that level and it makes sense why.
Yeah. And look, hey, the shoot your shot part of like, I'm going to apply anyway. Cool. That's fine. Maybe you don't know how important that is, or maybe they're really looking for this area and they would be willing to compromise on that. Until you get to the interview, sometimes you don't know what the real, true, strong, hard priorities or deal breakers are. But some things are deal breakers and it's not our job to try and change those. And in fact, if they are going to change those deal breakers, it happens. The best way for you to get that done is not to go straight at it and try and convince them that they should change the deal breaker. It's by being a wonderful person that they connect with and then they consider changing the deal breakers themselves.
I loved the part how she said, I could tell the interviewer was relieved that she wasn't going to have to email me after. I was like, I've never thought about that. But if you were interviewing and you knew from the start, like, oh, this isn't just a good fit and they're so guns blazing, you would dread a little bit having to explain it because they're going to ask for feedback. And you're like, well, you just weren't there, not for any bad reasons, but just the point that you're at in your career. Great awareness.
And it comes across almost, if you're in that real sales, like hardcore, like you're going to hire me and I'm going to prove it kind of thing, it can kind of feel like you don't know how they're going to take that news that, hey, look, this isn't right. It feels like they may just use that as like an objection that they need to overcome or something like that. It's like, no, that's not, we're not having that conversation. I'm just saying, here's the reason I'm trying to give you the good feedback. You want to put yourself in a position where you come across as being open to feedback so that that conversation can happen.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you're just two professionals having a conversation. So if you had been looking at this as interviewer versus me, I don't have a right to disrupt the flow, you wouldn't be able to pull off what Carmen has done here.
Yeah. And I think what we're not doing in a two professionals having a conversation kind of setting is we're not seeing it as this consultant is someone that I need to get past. I need to like have all these tricks to win the interview. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're not seeing it as this like hurdle, this game that we're trying to win, which is a lot of what I kind of see in certain places about the advice of like, you've got to get past the interview to go and do the job. It's a conversation. All the things we do in our work lives are just people relating to other people. And I wanted to point out as well, this was a kind of shoot your shot situation, right? I think it's important to remember that shooting your shot is just shooting a wild shot.
There's no guarantee of an outcome.
It's not necessarily going to work. You're shooting your shot. You're putting yourself out there for any kind of positive outcome or any kind of outcome that you're going to find out. You'll get something out of that, I think, every single time. But it's not going to be necessarily like the ideal outcome of like, oh yeah, of course, you're so bold, have the job.
People are also way more willing to help someone than you probably think. That interviewer would have left feeling so great that although it wasn't a match, I got to help her, send her on her way. She's going to be in a way better position. I told her about this company she'd never heard of. I gave her someone's phone number. What a great feel-good situation.
People love doing coffee chats. If you haven't listened to that episode and you don't know what that concept is about, have a search for coffee chats in our episode list and go and listen to that. People are way more willing to have a coffee chat and to help someone than what you think. They're in the industry. They have all this such great industry-specific knowledge. And look, I can help you with a whole bunch of different stuff. I've met with people from plenty of different industries and talked about career advice, interview advice, all those kinds of things. But there is never going to be anyone better to help you than someone in your very own industry, in your very own location. That is just game-changing for your career. That they're going to be able to tell you things that I'm not going to know because it's industry or location specific. They're going to say, oh yeah, you should really do this training because that really helps you, that certification. Like, who's going to know that other than someone in your industry? Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy.
And honesty and just some vulnerability is so, so refreshing in this case. We love to see it. Now, let's talk about all the flow-on benefits of using this strategy.
Well, the first one, who do you think that consultant is going to recommend if suddenly they go, oh, look, we've already got a director, but now we maybe need someone else in that team?
Yeah, her.
She's going to say, oh, I know the perfect person. Here's this person that you should really talk to. She's at this level. She's done these things. She's still working on this, but she's got so much potential. Like, how incredible. As well, she now has that consultant as a contact. I wanted to point this out because it's not always that senior person can help me. Sometimes it's the other way around. Maybe where she's currently working or her next job or somewhere in the future, they say, we need a consultant to do a little project for us on the side. Like, none of us in the team here have time for this thing. It'd be great if we could kind of outsource this and get someone else externally to do it. Oh, I know this really great consultant. Let me give her a call and see if she's free.
So good.
How cool. She can help them too. And also it looks like, oh, I'm well connected. Like, there's so many good things about that.
And she got some brilliant advice from someone in her exact industry. That's hard to do in person as well. Like, half an hour of an expert's time is valuable.
I know. Who has seen other people's resumes, who's seen director level resumes, who's seen directors who are in a good position to get the role and directors who are in a not so good position to get the role. Like, she gets to hear about that stuff before she's made those missteps. Does that make sense? Like, if she's saying, oh yeah, your next role, you should really make sure that you get this experience in your next role. How valuable is that?
So good. And now she's walking away confident instead of disappointed or let down. She's walking out feeling amazing. Hey, that was not what I was expecting, but what a great outcome.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I think my favorite part of the story was where she said a wave of confidence came over me. I like to think that that was a little bit of Interview Boss magic right there in that wave. She just hit by a wave of like, what would Sarah do? What would Emma do?
In the crystal ball. When can we use this? When should we deploy?
Yeah. Well, look, I don't think this is an everydayer. I think this is one that you've got up your sleeve for a bit of a rare situation. So it's, for me, imagining, you know, when it would go well and when it wouldn't, I think the interview has to be a bit less formal and structured. Like, imagine you're in like a panel formal interview where they've got pre-written questions.
Yeah, that's going to be weird.
You would just have to push through to the end. Even if you had that wave of, you know, confidence moment, I just don't think you're going to get anything out of it on the other side of that, other than them being like, oh, would you like to just not continue? Is that what you're saying? Like, they would just treat that really weirdly. So I think that doesn't work. I think where it does is where it's a one-on-one. It could be two interviewers as well. Like, I don't think that's the end of the world, but it just, there has to be some kind of a, you know, a chit chat kind of casualness to that type of interview where you're having a conversation with the hiring manager would be great, I think, because you're talking to like your potential boss. Like, I think that they can give you some advice in that scenario, or with some kind of recruiter that could work as well. Again, it's different things you're going to be getting out of the recruiter versus the hiring manager. It's not so much like a contact, but the recruiter could still give you feedback on, oh, are they going to hire for other roles in this area? How often do they come up? Like, what do other people's CVs say? Where do they sit in regards to the competition? Like, you could still get some stuff out of that. So I think those kind of scenarios in the first place. And then it has to be really clear that there's some kind of mismatch. I don't really want people thinking of doing this just because they feel like the interview's not going well. Does that make sense? That's not what we're talking about. It's more like it's so obvious on both sides. Like, you can see that they are going, oh, you don't have that. And you're going, oh, I don't have that.
Or as they're describing what the role involves, you're just thinking, ooh, this is not what I was expecting. Maybe the ad didn't really match it. Or you're kind of cringing the more you find out about the job because you're realizing how misaligned it is to you.
Yeah, totally. And also maybe they're asking you questions about stuff that you just don't have. The more it goes on and you're like, oh God, like clearly this is just not working. But I don't want people to pull this out when they don't like the job. Does that make sense? Like just because I've decided halfway through this that this place sounds horrible, I don't think this is the move. This is not the move of being like, oh, I think you're looking for something else. I think it needs to be like, hey, this sounds really good. I like it, but I don't think that I match what you're looking for. If you were like, oh, you want someone in the office full time? Oh, well, I'm going to stop the interview. I don't like that. I don't like that strategy. I think you should just push through and
know when to deploy.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're the one with the deal breakers, not like, oh, I have to be in the office all the time, but like location or salary or things that are just major, you might deploy this strategy when you know that you simply can't make that happen.
Yeah, that's right. You could. And you could kind of say, oh, look, it sounds like XYZ. Is that right? Okay, well, look, I want to be really honest here. I actually really only can do part-time or whatever. I thought I'd discuss that or whatever that is. I think, again, that honesty and vulnerability can be really nice. I wouldn't always use it in those situations. I think it works more when there's a mismatch on both sides. I think that's really where it's magic.
And the key here is make the shift to something positive. So you're not cutting the interview off and being like, all right, well,
oh, I'm going to go. I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah, or can you just tell me what I've done wrong then to not be? It's not hostile.
No.
It has to be something that's positive. So, hey, can I get some feedback on my resume? Can I ask you some questions about the industry? Or just connect and have a bit of a coffee chat, ask about their experience.
Yeah, totally. Now, I knew I was forecasting what you were going to say to me at this point in the episode. And let's press play. What do you think it is? What would you say to me at this point in the episode?
It's like dating.
No. What would you say to me at this point in the episode? What are people going to want to know?
How? How do we say that without sounding rude?
Yeah, that's what you normally do. You're like, well, Sarah, just like, what are you actually going to say? Like, how do we say that? So I pre-prepared something this time instead of being put on the spot. So I think what we're going for is something a bit like this. You can kind of kindly interrupt when it's your turn, maybe after they ask a question or something like that. Do you mind if I ask, I'm getting a bit of a sense that you're looking for someone who's really done managing donors for this role. Is that right? Is that really important? And then you kind of wait for their answer.
I thought you were about to say managing donuts. I was like, where is she going with this?
Donors. And then they can kind of go, yeah, look, that is really key to the role and it's something that we really need someone to have experience in. You could be like, okay, look, well, if I'm really being honest, as much as I really love the sound of the role and I think that I could learn those things, it sounds like I just don't have the experience that you're kind of looking for at this stage.
Would you then wait to see what they say or would you go straight in with the next part?
Well,
asking them to flip it.
Look, I can't fully script. You're going to have to be a human and listen and respond and use your brain, unfortunately. I don't know. I can imagine both. I can imagine just wanting to like, quick, get out what I'm trying to propose. But I can also imagine just waiting to see what they say. And then like, you may want their reassurance that, yeah, actually, look, it does sound like maybe, you know, you have some of the things that we're looking for, but this is really important to us and that would probably be a concern. You're like, okay, do you mind instead of discussing this role then, if we've kind of both agreed on that, maybe if we could have a bit more of a general conversation, I'd really love to ask you some questions about the industry if you're open to it.
Sounds great. I'm not fazed by getting asked that. I feel like they'd be like, oh, wow, you know what? Sure, that would be great. I think there is a bit of a mismatch here, but you're great and we love you and let's see what else we can do.
And if it's like the situation that we heard earlier, hey, this is like what you're saying at the end in terms of flipping that to a positive. Hey, this is the kind of role that I'd really like to be able to be competitive for in the future. I'd love to get an understanding of, you know, where you think I should focus between now and maybe being ready in the future. Like maybe that's the question you're asking. Maybe it's some stuff about the industry. Maybe it's, hey, do you only have the one role like this in your department? Like, do you sometimes hire for other roles? I'd be really interested in that.
I've just had a thought that say if you don't get the job and you ask for feedback, it's always going to be like a bit wishy-washy, I feel, because there's nothing inherently wrong with you. They're just trying to give something that's a bit actionable, but they're never going to, in that circumstance, be able to say, right, what you need to do, leave your current job, go into a not-for-profit as a promotions coordinator, then swing back here. Like, they're not going to lay out for you exactly what you should be doing. They're just going to say something vague like, oh, look, we would have liked to see more experience with donor relationships or something along those lines. But in this scenario, when you're asking like, hey, I want to end up here, what can I do? They're going to give you exact, like the perfect pipeline of who they would hire.
Yep. And like, you know, would they recommend doing this? Like, you're talking to them as an industry professional as opposed to as someone who you're trying to convince to give you a job.
Amazing.
The other thing I just thought about is this is a secret bonus power move at the end. If you've listened this far, this is a gift. What about you ask for feedback, or after the interview you found out you didn't get it, instead of asking just for some feedback, you ask for a coffee chat?
Ooh, I like it. I don't feel hopeful though, because every time I've asked for feedback, I've never heard back.
I know, but I think you have to use this in a particular scenario. I don't want people going out there being like, cool, I'm just going to do that every time. I just don't think it's going to get you anywhere, because you're kind of going for a coffee chat with someone who is actively hiring, and like, they just don't have the time to meet people. They're trying to meet people to hire. But I think it works if you did genuinely like connect with that person and you had a good conversation and you had some good rapport. I think if you're like, hey, look, totally understand. In a couple of months, would you mind? I'd really love to ask you some questions about your career and the industry. I'd really love to reach out. Let me know if you'd be open to that. And I think doing it down the track is important, because it's like, wait until this hiring, like, because you don't want them to think, oh, they're just trying to get hired. Like, it's not about that. You're trying to get something else out of them if you had a good connection with them and you do actually want their advice. It's a little bonus tip for you at the end.
Thank you so much, Carmen, for this epic, epic, inspirational story. Mm-hmm. You are interview boss values personified.
A-plus student.
So amazing. We're so glad that people are picking up what we're putting out there. It's so heartwarming to see. What a great outcome. And I know you're going to go far, and I bet you'll end up back in front of that lady in the future, and you'll be working there in no time, because you were honest, you actively listened, you weren't trying to sell yourself, you were honest, you were vulnerable, and it's just the best case scenario.
It is. I love it. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices and our values and our advice, follow us on Apple or Spotify, or better yet, tell someone else about the show. That's how we can help even more people who maybe really need it, and we can hit the charts and reach more people around the world. For more advice, inspiration, some behind the scenes, savable content, check us out on Instagram and chuck us a follow at Interview Boss, or find me on LinkedIn and give me a follow there. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something, and I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.